Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by Tyler Bliss, Wiley Lum, and Susanna Tusher. The sermon is based on scripture from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, and James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Central Sunday Morning Service for the 3rd of May, 2026, 5th Sunday of Easter, Senior Sunday and a celebration of our children and youth was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
Holy God, as we turn to our world today, we ask that you open our minds to understand it and our hearts to receive it. Let these ancient words speak to us in ways that are fresh and alive, teaching us what it means to truly love you and to truly love one another. May your spirits guide us as we listen. Amen.
Our first and second readings today come from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, and so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do you not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore your heavenly Father is perfect. Our second reading also comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. When Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, an expert in law, asked him the question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus said to him, You shall love your Lord, the Lord your Father, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our last reading comes from the book of James, Chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. You must understand this. My beloved brothers and sisters, let everybody be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not produce God's righteousness, holy wisdom, holy word.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Tyler Bliss. I've been a part of this church for all my life. I was baptized here. I went to preschool here. I grew up in Sunday school here, and I played nearly every part of the Christmas pageant. And like any Central kid, I know all the lines. I sang in the choir all the way through elementary school, and I was confirmed here. Even though during COVID, when I began attending youth group at Shalford Presbyterian, Central Presbyterian has always felt like home. Like Brianna read in Matthew chapter 5, the gospel tells us, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. So the message from this is to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's a simple idea. But it's not easy. It's not hard to love your friends or be kind to people who treat you well. Anyone can do that. The real question is, who are you when love costs something? And I'll be honest, I struggle with this too. I'm not standing here pretending to be some 18-year-old who has life figured out. It's easy to talk about being the bigger person, but when someone disrespects you or hurts you, your first instinct usually isn't love. Mine isn't. Sometimes it's wanting to get even. Or at least wanting the other person to feel what I felt. But I've seen what it looks like to actually live this out, and a lot of it started here. Central has shaped so much of who I am, not just in the big formal moments like confirmation, but in the small ones too. One tradition that means a lot to me is the hospitality breakfast. Every year, I bring a group of friends here. My friends, most of whom didn't grow up in a church, walk in a little unsure of what to expect. But then something happens. People here welcome them, not in a polite, go-through-the-motions way, but genuinely. And I think that is exactly what this verse is about. Jesus isn't just telling us to tolerate people outside our circle. He's telling us to actively love them, to pray for them, to let the sun rise on them the same as it rises on us. And this congregation does that. You don't just greet your own people. You greet everyone, including a bunch of teenagers who just showed up for the service hours. And that has stuck with me. So has something a friend of mine did. He went through a situation with a girl he really cared about, and things didn't work out. Soon after they ended, she was with another guy. And this new guy was a mutual friend. Although they weren't besties, they had been close enough for him rightfully to be angry about the situation. Every reason to hate the guy or go out to get revenge. But he didn't. He chose to treat him with respect. No trash talk, no revenge, just respect. And that stuck with me because it didn't seem logical at first. But it showed me something. He wasn't weak, he was in control. And that's what this verse is getting at. Loving your enemies isn't about saying what they did was okay. It's about saying what you did doesn't get to decide who I become. Because getting angry is easy, getting even is easy, but choosing respect when you've been hurt, that takes real strength. So when Jesus says be perfect, he's not saying never mess up. He's saying be whole, be the same person even when it's hard. So the next time someone gives you a reason to be negative, don't take the bait. The next time you feel justified in getting even, pause and ask, am I choosing what's easy or what actually makes me better? Because anyone can love when it's easy, but real growth starts when you learn to love when it's not. Amen.
The earliest Christians weren't just called believers. They were called followers of the way. When Shannon preaches, she reminds us that if we want to understand God and Christianity, we should look at Jesus himself. Jesus didn't go around helping people so that he can earn something. He loved people because that's who he was. He spent time with people who were ignored, showed kindness to people who were judged, and gave without expecting anything in return. His life wasn't about checking boxes. It was about love. But I think Christianity can sometimes fall into the mindset of checking boxes. It can start to feel a lot like a college application process. You sign up for clubs, you serve the community, you try to be the thoughtful person. But sometimes it turns into just another thing to put on an application, something you do to get into that dream school. That focus on the future, it changes things. It makes love not unconditional, but expectational. But there are ways to break out of that mindset. Just last weekend, my mom suggested that we go volunteer at a Trees Atlanta project early Saturday morning. Honestly, I didn't want to go. I was tired from the night before, and I really just wanted to sleep in. But even though I didn't want to go, I knew that I was willing to. And sometimes, that's all it takes. So I went, and it was great. I spent 3 hours clearing weeds and talking with a guy named Carter. He told me about his passion for conservation, what plants were invasive, which ones were safe to keep, and how different animals depend on the environment. I met new people, stepped out of my comfort zone, and found myself a part of a community I would have never experienced had I just stayed in bed. Sounds a lot like church, doesn't it? But I think my relationship with Jesus works the same way. When I'm following the way of Jesus, I meet the kinds of people Jesus spent time with. When I'm following the way of Jesus, I'm curious and open to learning something new. When I'm following the way of Jesus, I feel a lot of awe and wonder in nature too. It doesn't always start with a strong desire to go out and follow Jesus. Sometimes it just starts with being willing to show up, willing to care, and willing to say yes. And over time, that willingness turns into something more. That feeling of doing something sticks with you. It changes you. What starts as, I guess I'll go, becomes, I actually want to live this way. Jesus didn't try to fix the world's problems. He met people with love and compassion, and that is what truly changed lives. He cared about what the actual world he was living in. One way to do this is to live your life with a newspaper in one hand and a Bible in the other, like the theologian Karl Barth. We are all called to be aware of what is happening in the world and to respond with it with the same love that Jesus showed. If I'm not paying attention to the news during the week, I always know I will hear it, and I will hear what's important here in the prayers at church. At Central, I'm connected to a community of people who are trying to follow that same path and support each other along the way. This changes how we see other people. If God is truly loving and good, then our role is not to judge who is right or wrong or who deserves what. Our role is to love people the way Jesus did, to show compassion, to be understanding, and to meet people where they are. And that truly opens up your mind to the beauty of it all. The quiet happiness seeing the effects your love has on others. When you follow the way, you start to experience a deep fulfillment in life and a sense of beauty in the way you live. Because following Jesus is not just about getting somewhere later. It's about living like him right now. So I encourage you all to take that step and say yes. You're willing to live a life like Jesus did. Don't ask yourself whether you want to or whether you feel comfortable doing it. Just ask yourself if you're willing, and you'll already be two steps ahead. Amen.
For as long as I can remember, I have loved to sing. Between belting the Phantom of the Opera with my mom in the car or learning hymns when I was in choir with Miss Rachel, music has always filled me with a sense of joy that is hard to find anywhere else. Chorus especially has become one of the most important parts of my life. I joined my first choir when I was 6. I believed the whole point was to sing out, let your voice be heard. Although technically we were singing as a group, there was no true unison in our sound. I continued with this mindset for years, sing out loud and strong with unwavering confidence. When I got to high school, one of the first things my new director taught me was that the best singers listen more than they sing. This idea challenged all I was so confident about in my vocal abilities. I had always secretly considered myself one of the best singers. I always knew the pitches, the rhythms, and the lyrics to every song before many of the others in choir. But I had never considered the idea of listening to those around me. And I found listening to be the hardest aspect of singing I had ever attempted. Over time, as my skill in listening developed, I came to better understand what my director meant. A choir doesn't become beautiful because one voice rises above the rest. Rather, beauty is created when those voices blend, when each person adjusts and pays attention, making space for others. And that is exactly what we hear in the book of James. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Not only this, but James tells us of a righteousness that can be produced through listening to others. This righteousness can be interpreted as many things, but I hear those words and think of harmony. Harmony in our lives, peace in our relationships, understanding in our communities, compassion in our world. The kind of harmony that only happens when we quiet our own voices long enough to truly hear someone else's. We live in a world that seems to be growing louder each day. At seemingly every turn, people talking, posting, arguing, reacting. And with all of the noise, anger and divisions grow quickly. As simple as James's call to listen may seem, it is so important. To be quick to listen in a world that rewards being quick to speak. To be slow to anger in a culture that thrives on outrage. To listen is an act of resistance. Because, as James reminds us, human anger does not produce God's righteousness. Noise does not create harmony. Listening does. But true listening comes with a cost. It asks us to pause, to set aside our need to respond, defend our perspectives. It asks us to be present with someone else in their words, their experiences, and their struggles. For me, learning to listen looks very similar to what I do before I sing. Taking a deep breath, grounding myself. In conversation with friends, my parents, or during conflicts, I've often been so focused on what I wanted to say that I wouldn't truly listen to what others were trying to say. Working on genuinely listening has deepened my understanding and empathy for others and taught me that true leadership does not come from dominating a space, but making room for others to share what they have to say. This is one of the many things God calls us to do, to continue to make communities where people feel seen, heard, and valued, to teach children and youth, yes, the strength of their voices, but also how to listen with them, so that, in time and with great effort, we can attain the righteousness and harmony that God so wants for us. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.